Yeah, so I want to say welcome to Upper Room. So it's an Upper Room program, and one of the essence of the Upper Room program basically is geared towards apostolic recovery of the church, and so many things like I did see earlier on us come to play in the body of Christ, which has caused a lot of chaos in the body of Christ. And I want to believe God has made it possible for this program to come to us and come to stay, basically. So I want to say welcome to Upper Room. This is Upper Room, and if you're joining us, welcome once again. I hope I believe our day is going on well, and very quickly we'll be looking at the subject we have for today on Upper Room, which talks about gifts and graces, gifts and graces. We'll be looking at a couple of scriptures here, and we'll be looking at what it means to be gifted and what it means to have grace to be able to use the gift the way Christ and God designed it for each and every one of us. Recent times, you will discover that so many people, even on social media, you see people who would call themselves prophets and pastors and all, and we don't even we don't even know who to believe now. So so part of the apostolic ministries to kind of look into God's words and to look at what the Bible says regarding the gifts that Christ has made available to us, and the reason why this gift is even given to man. So the body of Christ has suffered so much till date because some entities lacks the ability to discern the gift of God that God has given to them, and the purpose of this gift. So we'll look at the book of Ephesians before we move ahead. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 7. Ephesians 4 in verse 7. It says there, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what grace does is to make you utilize the gift that is given to you appropriately. So wherefore in verse 8, you see it, when he ascended up on high, this is talking about Christ. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. In verse 11, it talks about this. These offices and the different in different capacity, and it gives some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's the essence of the gift being given to each and everyone that is called into these offices, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, and the evangelists and the teachers. You'll notice it's not in singular form, it's in plural form, talks about with an S at the end of the this different offices. So it's not just one person, it's actually a gift given to men. So in verse 12 it says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So in essence, when someone is called, for instance, into an apostolic office or into a prophetic office, this person is given a grace. This person is given a to be able to operate that office properly so as to be able to reap fruit from that same office that would benefit the person that given this gift. So it talks about what you are meant to do with this gift. It talks about that for the perfecting of the same, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the church. So if there's anything or you notice anyone using this same disguising as a prophet or an apostle, an evangelist, and then you're not seeing the perfecting of the saints, there's no edification with this gift, and you know it's not being used for ministry, it's being used for personal gains right now, and for the edifying, there's nothing like that. So that means this person is not called into this office. And perhaps if this person is called into this office, the person doesn't have the grace to be able to function in that same, with that same gift given to that individual. So by design, God decorated each of us with gifts and ability, with gifts and graces. You remember the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 said, before I formed thee, I'd already ordained you a prophet, right, unto the nation. So that's the word of God coming to the prophet Jeremiah and all that. So it's this by virtue of what we are going to experience in the word, God has given each and every one of us gifts and graces. So it's meant for individual to see now and then look within. You will discover that I'm not sure if you've met people who have the gift of dreams, you know, visions and interpretation, that the likes of Joseph in the Bible and, you know, Daniel as well, and some other, you know, maybe you've met someone, maybe someone in your place of work or someone just walk up to you and says, I think you should pray, I saw this about you. So it does not necessarily amount to the fact that that person has an apostolic ministry. It does not necessarily mean that. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, this person is called into a prophetic ministry. It takes a lot of dealings for God to make one apostle or to make a prophet. There's a lot of dealings that actually come to play that, you know, if care is not taken, we trivialize this, and then we begin to call, you know, because someone dressed in a certain way, you call the person a pastor. It doesn't mean, it takes a lot of dealing to be a pastor. Now, if you've met with pastors who are sincere ones, who are the ones that are called into that same office, you know, they will tell you a lot about counseling. They will tell you that, you know, so you need a certain measure of grace and a certain measure of dealing. There's a way your life would look, and there is the way your life will take shape for you to be able to manage that office properly and for Christ to profit through that office that he has given to you. Now, this is not to discredit those who are attendees of Bible school or Bible colleges, as it were. And, you know, as good as the Bible school is, or the Bible college that a lot of people attend, it only gives you a knowledge of creation, right? It gives you a knowledge of creation. It tells you about God's interaction with man from the beginning and, you know, all until now and all. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Anyone can go to a Bible school, right? An imam from the Muslim community can decide that, oh, I think I want to have a knowledge of what's going on with Christianity, and let me just enroll in a Bible school. They are free to do that, right? A Buddhist can decide that he wants to have a knowledge of the Bible. So going to a Bible school doesn't necessarily make you a pastor, doesn't necessarily means that you are called into that office. Now, these offices are meant for the purpose of perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now you see a lot of people come into say that they are pastors, and because they've gone to a Bible school, they feel they have the license to teach. They feel they have the license to be an apostle, to be a prophet, to be an evangelist and all that. You need to be called to that office. Now, being called to that office comes with a lot of dealings. Now, for you to be called an evangelist, or let me say an apostle, for instance, or let me just use the word evangelist. I've read few chronicles about, evangelists, basically, some evangelists, there is this indescribable passion about the soul. It doesn't mean that someone who is called into apostolic office or a prophetic calling office doesn't have the same amount of, saving the lives of men and, educating them about the kingdom of men, bringing men into the kingdom of God, and all that. But there is this, the evangelistic kind of, passion supersede that of, a prophet or a pastor or a teacher, basically. So individual is given certain graces, and these graces actually would be the driving force to you fulfilling that same calling in that office where you are placed. So getting a certificate from a Bible college does not automatically qualify you to be a pastor or a teacher. Once again, I want to say this is not to discredit those who attend Bible schools and all that, but you need to find out what you have as a gift. You need to find out. And you can only sort that out in prayer. So when you pray to God, you may not get a feedback. You may get a feedback. And then in the manifestation of this office, these offices are designed for the perfecting of the saints. So it is not for personal gain. See, these days you see people apply for jobs. Some so-called churches would post a job out there and say, we are looking for a pastor, as if it's a general career work. These things are not career. They are not retirement plans, basically. Some have decided to make it a retirement plan that when they retire from their own present job, then they can take the pastoral work or the apostolic office as being retirement. That same person is in limbo. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Now, Christ that gave these gifts and graces to men has a plan to benefit from that same gifts and the grace given to each and every one. Perhaps you look at these offices sometimes and you look at this gift given to men, and then you begin to analyze, I think I would like the evangelistic office or the pastoral office. That looks more, it suits my status and all. You need to understand what we need to understand, basically, is that if you are called into this office, there are sacrifices, there are things, there are dealings, basically, there are responsibility. A certain minister has asked some set of students in a school, which of these offices would you, I think it was in a Bible school, which of these offices would you like to function in? And I think the students all tend towards, certain number of students actually tend towards the apostolic kind of office. And then this same minister actually opened the passage of scripture. And then when he read the responsibility of an apostle, they all said, I think the teaching kind of thing, so they moved away from that apostolic, office, and then they are tending towards some other office. So it's not something you, it's good to admire those offices, but you need to be called into those offices. If you are not called into those offices, into the office of an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a teacher, as the case is, that person would live their lives being end up being frustrated, and then they will be doing things the way the flesh would prescribe it to them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we just look at one of the office, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 4 in verse 9. Now, this is Paul the Apostle describing the apostolic office. For you to know what it takes, the dealings, this is just part of the dealings of an apostle. The responsibility, so some of those things you will face, some of the things that you first need to make sure that you accept some things first. In fact, if you are married, you need to tell your wife, this thing, Christ has called me, this is what I have. You know, and you need to be certain you are called in there. Otherwise, that person is going to suffer. And it's the person's sonship or office, heaven will not recognize it, because it is not recognized, because it wasn't given to you by Jesus. It wasn't given to you by God. So in verse 9, it says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 9, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, as last, as it were appointed to death." So you must accept death first. You know, it's like a soldier, you need to accept death. You can go down anytime. "For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised, even unto this present." So perhaps you like to see yourself as somebody who will appear in the public and people will like you. People, you need to understand that this office is the, that's why it says there in verse 9, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles as last." So perhaps you like recognition, you like people, you know, calling you an apostle and all that, and you a lot of things happen, and people are I watch some video, and some people actually confess some other people as apostles, as prophet and all that. Did Christ send you to commission someone as an apostle? Even the person that is commissioned as an apostle doesn't see himself as an apostle. It doesn't. This is someone that is still committing, still fornicating, still committing adultery up and down, and still lying, and there's a lot of, the flesh is still in play in the lives of these so-called individuals that you're commissioning as an apostle or as a prophet, as the case, as it were. So it goes beyond just naming someone an apostle or a prophet. That someone have the gift of dream doesn't mean the person is an apostle. It doesn't mean the person is a prophet. So when you read on in verse 11, it says, "Even unto this day, present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we're blessed, being persecuted, we suffer." So are you ready to suffer? If the Holy Spirit comes to you and you say, for the next 3 days, you will not eat. You will not eat. You will not go near water. You will not. Are you ready to suffer? Are you ready to suffer? So it goes beyond naming. That's what I'm saying. It goes beyond, you know, all that. So if you see someone, I watch some video, I sometimes just smile, and then I just hope this person is really called into this office, because it goes beyond preparation. So the gift given to man is for Christ to profit through it. The reason why you are an individual will be called into an apostolic ministry or into a prophetic ministry or being a pastor or being a feature of the word is that Christ have something in mind that he wants to gain from you. God has something in mind. If you see somebody who has gone through the dealings of being a teacher or being a pastor and all that, and you see some so-called pastors these days, they will tell you, I've been in ministry for years, I can tell you what this is, I can tell. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are pastors. So these are the age where individual needs to even be able to go to God and ask God, this person that you have sent to us, that is saying that is our pastor now in this same assembly, did you call this person to come and, you know, be our pastor? Yes. Yes, we have gotten to that stage where individual needs to know God for themselves and they need to have the spirit of discernment to be able to go to God in prayer and pray. Appointing pastor, it goes beyond a board knowledge. You know, these are days where you have churches and, you know, you have some set of board of trustees or board of directors or board of, you know, whatever that is. And then you might have 12 people and all that. And they say, okay, we posted this job. 3 people apply for the job. Okay, this person is more experienced in ministry. We've looked at the record. It was able to hire 10 members. It was able to hire 300 members. So they are kind of comparing in numbers how this person increased the income of the church. The board of director needs to be there should be an overhauling in the church of God. Overhauling. So the place of the Holy Spirit has been kicked out. So they are using physical activities to be able to measure who can increase the income of the church, who can increase the sitting capacity of the church, who can build a larger auditorium, and who can. So all these things come to play, and then the Holy Spirit is kicked out of the church. If you attend those kind of churches, I need to tell you now, you need to start looking for a Bible-believing, a spirit-led, an Holy Spirit-led church. That's the church you should be looking for now. It's not, I was raised there, my parents attended this church. You will be where you are without you increasing in the knowledge of God. And without you being prepared for the coming of Jesus. Individual needs to, when somebody is sent to a location, because, you know, understanding the mandate given to a pioneer of a ministry is important. Otherwise, that church, that assembly will suffer. Everybody from the least from the young to the old, everybody will suffer in that church. Because if the person who is assigned or who is commissioned as a pastor to come, because the person finished from Bible school, they send the person. They just said, you know, this is the age of sending people everywhere. It's not just, if someone doesn't have that same calling, don't send that person. Recently, I and my wife, we went visiting some couple who invited us to their house and all that. And When we got there, we saw some other people there as well. And I met this young guy. He's currently, you know, someone introduced him and then said, oh, he's doing his master's in theology, you know, and all that. And when I got to interact with him, and this person said he doesn't believe in Lucifer. He doesn't believe there's Lucifer. He doesn't believe there's Satan and all that. And this is someone that has gone to Bible school. I don't know his intention for going to Bible school though. But then if the intention is to go into ministry, that person is already a field minister. He's already a field minister. And then people need to be careful what kind of Bible school they attend these days, because you have frustrated atheists who want to frustrate Christians out of the faith. And then they are the ones in Bible colleges and then telling people about science and then they tell people about the impossibility of believing in someone you have not seen, believing in Christ that you have, and these are frustrated atheists. So the Bible school has done a lot of lot of harm to acquiring unlicensed teacher into their schools to educate students that comes into the school and then not doing their job or what they are supposed to do, basically. So that's what we have. And then when I got to interact with him, and then I had to open a few passages of scriptures to him, I had to tell him the reality of some things and all that. And they said, wow, this is an awesome conversation. And that's what we have in this present age. So that kind of person comes into ministry and then, or perhaps serve as an assistant pastor, and then comes to the church and then doesn't even believe that there are demons, there are seducing spirits, there are different kinds of, you know. So what the person has is the knowledge of creation. That's what the person has. He doesn't want to go deeper to understanding that the miseries of the kingdom of God. He doesn't want to read through. Engage in prayers and then see prayers as being a frustrated situation. And then, you know, because he's going to work, he's getting salaries, he can get a house, he can buy a car, he can do anything, and he feels everything is okay. And then, you know, this person comes into me, and so that is what is going on in this age. So this is just to cite an example of who an apostle is, you know, and people don't want to suffer. People want to ride in big cars, private jets, and all that. Why those things are good? If God has not commissioned you, if you don't know the ministry of an apostle, don't even go near it. Go and take time and sit down and look at the life of Christ. The Bible said he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, is the, you know, there are different categories of, you know, I don't think I can go into that today. You know, they are different. They are foundational apostles. They are non-foundational apostles. They are apostles. You know, they are different, I think up to 4 or 5 of them. So we need to identify the gift that God has given to us and the purpose of this gift. Now, when you know the purpose of this gift, when you have identified this gift, when you know the purpose of this gift, it is not for you to, for your own gain, for your own personal gain. Where we read before in the book of Ephesians there, it talks about for the perfecting of the saint, for the work.